The Dave Ross Show.
Embracing change is never easy, but the reward for doing so can be far greater than anything you can imagine.
On News Talk 97.3.
We will leave you, hopefully better than we found you.
Cairo FM.
Well, Dave's voice has not returned. Hopefully he'll be better tomorrow. Until then, I am Paul Harris, proud to be back behind the microphone. Thank you for listening. The News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. We'll do an abbreviated show today because we normally would be on till noon, but we're going to make way at 11 o'clock for Dory, who's going to do a special show today, 3 hours live from the Lakewood Police Department as part of our continuing coverage of the Maurice Clemens story. The other big news today, of course, is President Obama's speech last night at West Point to a packed house of cadets, in which he announced that the United States will be sending 30,000 more troops to Afghanistan. They will ship out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. He laid out a 3-year plan and an exit strategy with a pullout beginning in July of 2011, 18 months from now. Here are some of the things the president had to say last night.
After 18 months, our troops will begin to come home. These are the resources that we need to seize the initiative while building the Afghan capacity that can allow for a responsible transition of our forces out of Afghanistan. I do not make this decision lightly. I make this decision because I am convinced that our security is at stake in Afghanistan and Pakistan. This is the epicenter of violent extremism practiced by Al-Qaeda. It is from here that we were attacked on 9/11, and it is from here that new attacks are being plotted as I speak. This is no idle danger, no hypothetical threat. In the last few months alone, we have apprehended extremists within our borders who were sent here from the border region of Afghanistan and Pakistan to commit new acts of terror. And this danger will only grow if the region slides backwards and Al-Qaeda can operate with impunity. These are the three core elements of our strategy: a military effort to create the conditions for a transition, a civilian surge that reinforces positive action, and an effective partnership with Pakistan. It's easy to forget that when this war began, we were united, bound together by the fresh memory of a horrific attack and by the determination to defend our homeland and the values we hold dear. I refuse to accept the notion that we cannot summon that unity again.
President Obama last night at West Point, talking to the U.S. military and the U.S. people about his escalation of a war in Afghanistan, a war that when he moved into the White House beginning of this year had 31,800 soldiers in Afghanistan. Today we have 71,000. By next summer we'll have close to 100,000. Here to comment on all of this is Jerry Van Dyke, a CBS News consultant who has been to Afghanistan more times than I think any other journalist. Hi, Jerry. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Paul.
Your reaction to the escalation of the war?
It's sad, but it's necessary. I think he's doing the right thing. I don't think he has a choice. I think what he said about Afghanistan, and particularly the border region of Pakistan and Afghanistan being the epicenter of the war on terror, or what we call violent extremism, as he called it, is accurate. He also said, not in your particular clip just now, but in his speech last night, that what it really comes down to and what they really are frightened about more than anything else is the possibility that Taliban extremists, primarily Al-Qaeda, working in tandem with elements of the Pakistani military and intelligence agencies, could possibly gain access to a nuclear arm, and thereby increasing the very, very dire possibility that they would use that against the United States. That is what he's referring to, I think. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mike Mullen, as well as his underling, General Petraeus, have said that there are about 100 Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan today. The fact that if the United States were to leave, and tribal leaders along the border in the last couple of years have told me this directly, if the United States were to leave Afghanistan, the Taliban would come back in power within a day. So I do think that the president is right. I do think that the Taliban also will note this. I don't think that they're going to fight right away. They're going to watch and see what happens, because as they have said repeatedly, the United States has the watches, but we have the time. That is why I think the idea that we talked about pulling back in 2011 may be a good message for the military, which is tired, which has been at war now for a long time in Iraq and in Afghanistan, wants to hear. But the Taliban will take it as another type of message.
Yeah, the Taliban offered a predictable response today, saying, oh, good, we'll just have more Americans to shoot at. That's the sort of nonsense we expect to hear out of them. But here's the frustrating thing to me as an American taxpayer, Jerry. My men and women in uniform have been there for 8 years, not en masse. We sent a lot. We got diverted in Afghanistan, from Afghanistan, and went to Iraq and blew it there. Absolutely. But in the last 8 years, since we've gotten the Taliban out of control of that country, where have the Afghanis themselves been in taking control of their own country? They have reelected a corrupt leader in Hamid Karzai. They have no real national military, no real national government. You know from being there that everything in Afghanistan is truly done at the local or tribal level. Why do we think that by 2011 or 12 or 40 that Afghanistan's culture will change so much that the people of that country will be able to stand up and fight for themselves and prevent the Taliban then from taking over their country? What's going to change?
First of all, you're not wrong in what you just said, in my view. I do think that the Taliban have always been an integral part of Afghan society, that the absolute lowest stratum in society, they've always lived in mosques within every village. However, the Afghan people are tired. They're desperately poor. It's probably the second poorest country on earth. They've gone through 30 years of war. Virtually all villages in Afghanistan do not have running water, do not have electricity. The people are exhausted. They have no power. The corruption to which you allude, which is correct, belongs to the elite in the country, belongs to the elite families, those who are in the government. It certainly does not exist among villagers who have anything. Only thing that they can do is try to survive. They're concerned about sending their sons and their daughters will survive, that there will be a good harvest, and that they will go to heaven when they die. That is their principal concern and always has been. What you did talk about, and I think this is very important, and what Secretary of State Defense Gates has said today in congressional testimony, the Taliban now control 11 of 34 provinces in Afghanistan. And as General McChrystal has said, the situation is dire. That the United States, like in Vietnam, wants to, we use the term Vietnamese, the war. Now we're trying to Afghanize, if you will, the war. We want the Afghan National Army to take greater control, they want the United States to work in tandem with them. The problem is there is a 25% attrition rate within the Afghan army. Also, there's a very interesting article in the very conservative London newspaper, The Telegraph. I say the conservative on purpose so as not to appear a liberal, whereas General Dostum, a very corrupt man in the eyes of the United States, who's also a very instrumental person in the Afghan Defense Ministry, said that not one Afghan major or captain has been killed in 8 years of war. What I'm saying is that the Afghan army and the Afghan people are so tired, they're so devastated, that they do not feel that they have a stake in this war. And until such time as the United States is able to convince them that they're there for their own good, this war will continue indefinitely. General Petraeus, in his Army and Marine Corps manual published in 2006, which is what the United States Army and the Marine Corps use when, and their officers use when fighting in the field, said this war, all wars of insurgency, are never won militarily. They have to be won politically. The United States cannot be seen as an occupying army. It will have to go in, it has to train this army, and it has to show those villagers to which you alluded so correctly, they have to learn to stand up, that they're fighting not to support a Christian infidel army, which the Taliban tells them the United States is, but for the betterment of their country. It's going to take, unfortunately, in my view, and I think in yours, a long time.
A long time. 18 months, 28 months, 38 months. I don't see that timeline working, especially considering that we've been there for 8 years. This is News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Paul Harris talking with Jerry Van Dyke, a CBS News consultant and senior fellow at the Carnegie Council, about President Obama's speech last night. You mentioned, and others have mentioned, the number of al-Qaeda who are in Afghanistan. On October 4th, General Jim Jones, the National Security Advisor, was interviewed on CNN And he talked about Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. He says, you know, there's maybe 100 of them tops. They have no bases. They have no ability to launch attacks on us. They have no ability to launch attacks on our allies. You are right that the attacks have to, I mean, that the war is really in Pakistan, where Al-Qaeda has many more people who are out to do harm to us and to others in the West. We can't go into, officially, we can't go into Pakistan because, well, why can't we go into Pakistan? Explain that to me. Why can we go into Afghanistan, but we can't go into Pakistan?
Because we feel, and this is correct, that the war emanated from Afghanistan.
However, but if we know that the bad guys have moved and they're on the other side of the mountain and that mountain is a dividing border line, okay, we go after the bad guys wherever they are. Why can't we get them there?
Okay, a few answers. Number one, I talked to a major general in the U.S. Army who commanded a division in Afghanistan in 2004, and he said it would be extremely difficult for any man's army to fight in those tribal areas. We would require thousands upon thousands of more American soldiers to go into an area where we're certainly not welcome. And could we eradicate Al-Qaeda quickly? The Pakistani army is having its own difficulties in it. Pakistani army is certainly not the United States Army, but it does have the added advantage of having a language and a cultural understanding of the area, which the United States does not. Number two, the very complex issue here, and the President Obama said in his speech that we want to guarantee to Pakistan our mutual respect, our mutual understanding, and mutual responsibility. What we have here is a very complex issue, and that is that as Secretary of State Clinton said publicly, the first time a senior American official has ever said it, in my understanding, in Pakistan, why is it that after so many years that you, meaning the Pakistani authorities, cannot find the leadership of Al-Qaeda? The Prime Minister of Britain, Gordon Brown, said the same thing in slightly different words just in the last couple of weeks. How is it that we cannot find the leadership in Pakistan? There are many who feel in the United States that the Pakistani military is extremely divided, that the Pakistani military wants to, the United States, according to Prime Minister Singh of India, who was just at the White House, to fail in Afghanistan. It wants to control Afghanistan itself so as not to be surrounded by India. Pakistan is our ally, but there are elements within the Pakistani establishment, many feel, that are working against us. If we go into Pakistan, we may not have any allies in Pakistan. It will be extremely difficult, and maybe the Pakistani military would not be on our side, thereby creating an extremely volatile situation, not just in Pakistan, but throughout the Muslim world.
Okay, so we can't go into Pakistan, and we're going to go send more of our troops into Afghanistan. Tell me, Jerry, what is a win here? Because President Obama said last night he wants to bring this war to a successful conclusion. Define that for me.
In his view, in my understanding, the views of the American establishment, and this is really no different from that of President Bush's administration, and then that is to prevent that area from being a sanctuary where elements of Al-Qaeda would be able to do harm to the United States, if in the United States directly, or in American interests in the region. That is the goal. As President Obama said, we're not there for the long, he didn't use the term long term, but we're not there for the long haul to fight endless wars in Afghanistan, because believe me, and we both, you and I know, and most of your listeners know, the history of Afghanistan, the wars will go on for an extremely long time. This is not our fight. What the United States feels it has to do is to stamp out, and I believe this is certainly, and there's no one who would disagree with this, the Al-Qaeda as much as possible. Al-Qaeda is transnational. Its goals are to harm America. President Obama's advisor, as just you noted, General Jones, said there are less than 100 Al-Qaeda members in Afghanistan. The leadership is in Pakistan. I don't know how they're going to eradicate those. The CIA is calling for a bigger budget in Pakistan to send more spies into that area. It's going to be extremely difficult to do. But I think that is what the goal is, to eradicate Al-Qaeda, to prevent that, prevent them from coming to power, to somehow, and President Karzai has talked about this, there are today, as you and I talk, there are ongoing secret negotiations come out in the news between President Obama's ambassador to Afghanistan, Carl Eikenberry, former three-star general, with the Taliban. President Karzai, in his speech, his inaugural address to the Afghan nation, thanked specifically King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia. There have been secret talks between the Taliban and Saudi Arabia, perhaps Pakistan. The United States, closely allied with Saudi Arabia, certainly will know about these talks. Let's try and reconcile to some degree with the Taliban, not the leadership, but with the lower elements, thereby distancing them from al-Qaeda. That's the goal.
Is it acceptable to the United States of America to allow the Taliban to come back into power if they agree not to be a haven for al-Qaeda?
When the, before the United States, in the 1990s, long before we were attacked in 2001, the Taliban visited Houston. The Taliban were there at the invitation of U.S. oil companies, which want to put a pipeline across Afghanistan. The United States worked with the Taliban in the past. We did not give them diplomatic recognition, but we worked with them. So I do think that elements of the Taliban, who President Karzai correctly calls sons of the soil, if they can divide them from al-Qaeda, take them away from any kind of backing that they get in Pakistan, and somehow come to some sort of reconciliation, some sort of accommodation, because they are, after all, an integral part of Afghanistan. They have always been in each village. Just recently, in the last 10 years, have come to political power. If you can work that out, I think the United States would work with them.
Jerry Van Dyke, senior fellow at the Carnegie Council, a guy who wrote the book In Afghanistan and has traveled there more times than probably many other American journalists would even dream of. I really appreciate your time and your analysis today. Thanks for joining me, Jerry. Paul Harris filling in for Dave Ross, back with more of our continuing coverage of President Obama's speech last night and your reaction at 888-973-CAIRO. This is News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.